This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. New York's public theater and our producing station, WNYC, is doing Romeo and Juliet on the radio. And this production aims both to entertain and to show that language need not divide us.
Dos familias, both alike in dignity. En Verona, escenario gentil.
All the characters shift seamlessly from Spanish to English and back again. You don't have to understand every word to get the message.
From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean.
It stars Juan Castano and Lupita Nyong'o and was co-adapted and entirely directed by Saheem Ali.
From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured, piteous overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife.
Some of us will take in the unfamiliar words like pure emotion, but we'll all be traveling together.
Su pasión impetuosa y cruel destino, con la furia obstinada de sus padres, que solo se extinguió al morir los hijos, nuestra escena en dos horas va a contarles. The which, if you with patient ears attend, nuestras faltas sabremos componer.
Poetry is a special kind of music, and it was a musical that first brought Ali to Shakespeare.
So when I was in Kenya, I was obsessed with this music called Grease. Mm-hmm. I was 16.
I've heard of it.
And so I got my friends in high school together with a group of girls from another high school, and we put up a production of Grease that I had kind of cobbled together from my memory of seeing the production. Someone saw me in that and sent me a letter and said, would you like to play Mercutio in this production of Romeo and Juliet? And I had no idea what that was or who that was or anything. That was my introduction to Shakespeare, was being cast as Mercutio when I was 16 in Nairobi. Yeah.
I'm so glad you were cast as Mercutio, because I was going to bring him up in just a moment. What you've done here, I have never seen before. A truly bilingual production. What was your intention?
Yeah, one of my missions with Shakespeare is to increase a sense of accessibility and the audiences who feel invited to the production. So typically in the traditional theater, that means casting actors of color at the center of productions so that folks who haven't seen themselves reflected in these worlds can see themselves and have these stories feel like they're relevant to them. A few years ago, I did a production of Twelfth Night. My concept was that Viola and Sebastian were immigrants from Cuba coming to the U.S., and they landed off the coast of Florida in South Beach. And so I incorporated language into that, working with Ricardo Perez Gonzalez, who also co-adapted Romeo and Julieta with me. You know, I'm bilingual. And so when I speak to my family back in Kenya, we just very automatically switched Swahili. And so I wanted to tell the story of these siblings who, when they saw each other for the first time, reverted back to their mother tongue, which was Spanish. And if you didn't understand Spanish, you didn't need to know what they were saying. It was this beautiful private moment, but you understood the emotion behind it. Shakespeare is like that. Sometimes it feels like a foreign language as it is, you know? There's the process of translation that comes along with Shakespeare that I just wanted to take to the next level by bringing Spanish into it. There are 41 million people who speak Spanish in the U.S. That's their first language, a huge swath of our population. And I want to create something for them as well and say, there's also something beautiful for you in Shakespeare. You may not have English as your first language, but here is a production of the greatest love story of all time. And there's going to be parts of this that are just for you.
I understand that you started preparing the script off of the Spanish translation by Alfredo Michel Modenesi.
Yeah, yeah. So for it to work bilingually, I had to find a translation of the play that hewed pretty close to Shakespeare's original rhythms. There are others like the Neruda, for example. Neruda has his Romeo Julieta, and it's very much an adaptation. It is not a translation. He takes liberties with the text. That's beautiful, but it wouldn't work for a bilingual production because I needed the integration of both languages to feel seamless. And so that really was how I found and chose Alfredo's translation.
Could you tell me a little bit about Alfredo Michel Modenesi?
He is a Mexican scholar at the University of Mexico. He teaches linguistics. And he was introduced to me by Ayana Thompson, who is the Shakespeare scholar in residence at the Public. She says, you have to meet my friend Alfredo. And so we had a Zoom call with me, Ayana, and Alfredo. And then he sent me his text. And the thing about Alfredo's translation that is so perfect for creating a bilingual adaptation is that his words hew very close to Shakespeare's rhythms, his imageries, the meter of the text.
I regret to say I don't know Spanish, but I do know a little bit about Shakespeare from when I was studying in acting school. I know how much the emotional intention of the character hinges on the meter and how when that meter breaks, it conveys disordered thinking or passion. Did you find, as someone who has directed Shakespeare before, that it didn't pose a huge challenge most of the time?
No, it didn't. Alfredo's translation really takes all of those rhythms into account, reflected in his text. The blueprint that Carlo Perez Gonzalez and I created was one that made sense to us. It was very subjective. You know, we really started from a place of like, okay, the meatiest scenes, those need to be in Spanish. The moments of real passion, parent is reading, because that is our story as people who are bilingual, you know? Those moments when your mother is really upset with you, she switches to your mother tongue. She doesn't do it in English. For me, she did it in Swahili. That is the truth of someone who is bilingual. And the next step was to work with the actors. So we said, okay, here is a text that we have created. Now we wanted the actors to give us their input because every actor had a different relationship to Spanish. Some were born outside of this country. Some were born here and learned Spanish after the fact. Some were not Latinx at all and they or have a different identity like Lupita, who was born in Mexico but grew up in Kenya. And so Spanish was her third language. The final step of adaptation was for the actors to say, well, this feels more comfortable to me. And I would maybe say this word in Spanish or this word in English. They were partners in that because it had to be true to what their own history of Spanish was.
Could you suggest a snippet we could play to give our listeners a sense of that?
Yeah, I think the balcony, because you get a sense of like how languages work back and forth there. And what you have is also the final design, right? So you can hear the footsteps and the foley and everything, yeah?
Ay, es mi dueña. Es mi amor. Si lo supiera. Oh, she speaks. Yet she says nothing. What of that? Her eye discourses. I will answer it. Ay, pero qué atrevido. It is not to me she speaks. Un par de las estrellas.
You said that your introduction to Shakespeare back in Kenya was being cast as Mercutio, and it's funny because when you sent me the script, I turned immediately to his Queen Mab speech, which is hard enough to follow in Shakespeare. It's about this malevolent spirit who tempts men into depravity by dangling what they most desire. It's a series of phantasmagoric images. Mm-hmm. Lovers dream of love, lawyers dream of lawsuits and making money, soldiers dream of cutting
foreign throats.
And I noticed that half of the image would be in one language and the other half of it in the other, like the word wagoner would be in English and the description in Spanish and vice versa.
And in this state, she gallops night by night through lovers' brains. Que sueñan con amor. Rodillas de cortesanos that dream on curtsy street. Dedos de abogados who straight dream on fees. Labios de damitas who straight on kisses dream. Labios que Mab, furiosa, cubre de llagas, porque su aliento apesta golosinas.
Was that like crazy fun or just crazy.
It was crazy fun. It was, that's the kind of work that really gets me going, because it really depends on what the word is and how it sounds. And then hearing Irene Sofia Lucio, the actor who plays Mercutio, hearing her speak the words, and she's someone who like had such great fun with the language, because classically trained, very, very much steeped in how to work with this kind of text. And she was born speaking Spanish. And so she brought such a facility and a dexterity with the language. It became so much fun to create this for her.
Were there any speeches that were particularly hard to, you know, bilingualize?
I would say the scene that was really pleasantly challenging was the scene where Capulet finds out that Juliet does not want to marry Paris and berates her, mm-hmm. where we cut Lord Capulet. So Juliet has only one parent, and it's her mother. We had to combine the text that the mother says when she first enters and speaks mm-hmm. to Juliet, and that the father says when he comes in and finds out. Creating that amalgamation, we had to find the right tone, the right arc, because you're taking two characters who appear in one scene and respond to information about their mm-hmm. daughter in one.
And you be mine, I'll give you to my friend. Si no, cuélgate, mendiga, pasa hambre, muérete en la calle! For by my soul, I'll ne'er acknowledge thee, nor what is mine shall never do thee good.
You know, Florencia Lozano is the actor there, and we went back and forth about like which lines were in English and which lines were in Spanish, because the scene has such emotional intensity. You know, we wanted to make it all in Spanish, but then it lost truly feeling bilingual. Because one of the things that I'm thinking about, I'm making this for a bilingual mm-hmm. audience, but I would also like an audience that's English only to be able to follow, and an audience that's Spanish only to be able to follow. So the Venn diagram of where that intersects in that scene in particular was particularly challenging.
And I completely got that. And I was also wondering, looking at the script, whether in some cases you chose lines because the Spanish actually sounded a lot
yes,
like English.
For
you know,
sure.
Had the same roots.
Absolutely. That was definitely a consideration, because I love being in spaces where I don't speak the language and I try to decipher what's being spoken. So one of my exes was Japanese. His family didn't speak any English. So I would love being at like family dinners with them and try and pick up the context of what was being discussed. And if I could pick up like one word there that sounded the same in English and, you know, this puzzle in my brain of like understanding what was happening, I find that really enjoyable. So with this piece, whenever there was a word in Spanish that sounded like the English, I'd be like, okay, we can do the Spanish here for sure, because there's enough there mm-hmm. for someone who speaks English to be able to understand.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean about struggling. I reported from Russia for a while, and especially the first year, the Russian translator said that I had this expression like a dog that you were talking to was listening so closely, head tilted, like, I'm going to understand this. So I really know how that feels. But let's talk about the choice of Romeo and Juliet itself. We all know the origins of West Side Story,
yes.
and most of us know that there was a Spanish language version of West Side Story on Broadway, and I think it's being made for the movies.
Yes.
Is there something in particular about this tale that has resonance in Spanish?
Well, it's very subjective, Brooke. For me, Spanish is very much the language of my first loves. The first people that I fell in love with when I came to this country and came out as a gay man were Latinx. I fell in love with these people, and I also fell in love with their language and their culture and their food and their music. And so I took trips for love often, because I fall in love with someone and they lived there. And so I went to spend some time in that country, in South America and Central America. But then I also loved to go to where I didn't know anyone and just go for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month sometimes and just like immerse myself. For me, the sound of Spanish, the mood of Spanish, it's, para mí es la lengua del amor. It's something that feels like love when I hear it. And then Lupita Nyong'o and I met doing Romeo and Juliet. She played Juliet, actually, in that production that I played Mercutio.
What?
Yes.
Like, how long ago was
this
that?
This was 1998. Yes, uh-huh. I was 18, she was 14, cast as a 14-year-old Juliet. We met there, we became friends, and we reconnected in the U.S. Around the time we were both in graduate school. I was at Columbia and she was at Yale. We'd been dreaming up coming back to this production. And so when it came to thinking about, well, what I wanted to do next on the radio, I thought, well, I really want to go back to Romeo and Juliet. I want to do it with Lupita. I'd love to do it bilingual. And she does speak Spanish. So all the pieces came together to make something that I could feel like was a further exploration of Shakespeare on radio. It's Romeo and Juliet. It's the Shakespeare that everyone knows the best. So with Romeo and Juliet, even the moments when either language might feel a little bit out of reach, you know, these are about two people who want to be together. This is a story about what happens when two sides don't reconcile, when two sides allow their hate and their enmity to blind them to everything. And you have these two people caught in the middle of it. And you know, who you're always rooting for them. You're always saying, no, don't do it. Don't take the potion. Don't take out the knife, because you want these two people to survive.
I was just thinking about if you had fallen in love with, say, an Eskimo, would this be in you picked right now?
I wonder. It just might have been. Yeah, it really is. My first love was a man from Ecuador. And so, yeah, something to say for first love.
Saheem, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Brooke. Thank you.
Saheem Ali is the director of Romeo y Julieta, a world premiere bilingual audio play, co-produced by the Public Theater and WNYC Studios, which also produces us. You can find it at wnycstudios.org/podcasts/Romeo y Julieta, or really wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Loewinger, Leah Fetter, John Hanrahan, Eloise Blondio, and Rebecca Clark Callender, with help from Alex Hainsworth. Zandra Ellen writes our newsletter, and our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Adrian Lilly.
Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.